I support Mitch Keller saying he's maybe going to go play golf or something as he awaits the MLB trade deadline. Josh Roundtree with you, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Keller's name undoubtedly has been cast out there as one of the big fish of this upcoming deadline coming up Thursday night. We're 48 hours away, if my math is correct, which I believe it is, from the MLB trade deadline. This time in 48 hours, we'll know if Mitch Keller is a Pirate or not. Sounds like those who once felt a trade of Keller was quite likely are now perhaps backing off of that sentiment. Noah Hyles from the Post-Gazette, you hear Noah on this station pretty much like, what, three times a day, something like that, especially around this time of year. We get Noah on here a lot to give his inside reporting on the Buccos. But Noah today saying that, well, Keller, even though there has been a lot of smoke to a trade, well, it might not be happening just yet. And by just yet, I mean before the trade deadline on Thursday. That perhaps the Pirates will wait. Perhaps they will hold off until the offseason. Now might not be the time, but a couple months from now, it could be. I don't really understand that line of thinking from the Pirates' standpoint. I feel like you have a window right now if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates. That window is remarkably small, and it is shrinking by the month, by the day, by the week. It's not opening. It's not in the process of opening for you. And that window is being propped open right now really by one generational talent in Paul Skeens. You have a star to build around. You have the guy that all of baseball would covet if they even had a remote chance at getting him. I have said from the beginning, I don't want to trade Mitch Keller. Keller's flaws are there. He has not been very good in the last couple of months of regular seasons. He hasn't been very good at all over the last couple of years, despite the fact that he has been, well, quite good leading into the last couple of months. But once the calendar seems to turn to August, Mitch Keller, not so good anymore. Maybe August hit early for Keller when he went just two innings last night, threw 73 pitches, gave up three earned runs, walked three batters, and was yanked. Maybe August and September have come just a few days early for Mitch Keller, or perhaps it's just a blip on what's been a very, very respectable radar here, despite having very little successes around him in the lineup. Keller's been really solid. 3.69 ERA, but a 4-10 record to go with it. It's unthinkable. I've said from the beginning I wouldn't trade Mitch Keller. My biggest reason for not trading Mitch Keller has been that I don't trust the guy who would be making the deal. I don't trust Ben Cherington to get significant, substantial, appropriate, or the correct return, really, the correct return for Mitch Keller. And to be honest, it's not so much that I think Cherington would lose the trade on paper as much as I feel that Cherington would lose the trade long term. If they're going to trade Keller, it's going to be for a bat or multiple bats. And that's the right mode of thinking. Why would you trade Keller if you're just getting a pitching prospect when you already have a good pitcher under contract at a, by Major League Baseball standards, reasonable rate? They should be looking at getting bats. I understand that. And if you're going to make the move, you better get a bat. What concerns me is if Ben Cherington goes out and makes this deal, is he going to bring in some 19-year-old high A-ball player with still years and years of development ahead of him in an organization that has not shown the ability whatsoever to develop hitters? I mean, what makes anybody think that the Pirates would actually win the Mitch Keller trade, given that this organization has so unbelievably and spectacularly failed at developing hitters and identifying hitters? Look no farther than the guy they took first overall, one of their early impressions here, Henry Davis. Henry Davis was known as a defensive liability at catcher that probably would never work out behind the plate, but he sure can hit, so it's worth the move. We can teach catcher. We can't necessarily teach hitting like Henry Davis was capable of. That was the thought process. What has happened with Henry Davis? He's batting 173 with four home runs. The guy couldn't hit the ocean if he was standing in the waves. And this is the organization that we're supposed to believe, the one that used a first-round pick on a sure-thing hitter who now years later, 5 years after the fact, is batting 173, who really should not be on a major league roster, and who looks like, without a doubt, a significant and another significant bust for this franchise. Should also note that whenever you Google search Henry Davis's name, a photo of Andy Rodriguez shows up. Let's check in on Andy Rodriguez. I'm just curious now if you Google Andy's name, if Henry Davis's photo shows up. No, it does not. But it also does show that he's batting 173 himself. And of course, injuries have plagued him. I look at this situation and think, if you get a really, really slam dunk deal for Keller, I'm talking a guy that is good to go, you know, is a good hitter, has established himself against major league pitching, that you don't need to do any real development with, and you can plug maybe one or two guys, maybe a guy that's a sure thing and a guy that you maybe have to develop in a short period of time, but you feel like perhaps by the start of next season can be a part of your lineup. If you can get that for Mitch Keller, sure, you consider making that move. Here's the problem with that, though. Why would any team that is going for a World Series right now trade a sure thing hitter off of their major league roster? I don't see that being part of the equation. And I've heard this thrown out there that the Pirates should go and search for major league talent to come back. If you're looking at a deal with the Cubs or the Yankees or the Red Sox, yeah, maybe there's depth organizationally that you could trade for. But if those teams are all gearing up for pennant runs, why would they want to part with established hitters? It's hard to believe that that's even a possibility or could be a possibility for these Pittsburgh Pirates. So then what? Then it becomes prospects. The Pittsburgh prospects. It's the same refrain that we've heard here for three decades. We trade our good players for their prospects. And far, far, far more times than not, those prospects don't pan out here. Developmentally, something happens along the way. Even guys that are right there in AAA, guys that hit at every level, and they're right there at AAA, and they're hitting at AAA, and then they get to the majors, and what happens? They can't do anything. Or they do for a little while, and then they fall off a cliff like Jack Sawinski, and they can't touch a baseball. I'm not interested in the prospect game if Mitch Keller's name comes up on the trade block. I can't trust the organization to make the trade. I don't think that there's a trade for a proven commodity out there. I would be stunned if there was. I would be stunned if by Thursday at 6 o'clock, Mitch Keller has been traded for a major league hitter. That's not going to happen. So you start looking now at the offseason. Noah Hyles Post-Gazette reporting again today that the Pirates have cooled a little bit, if you will, on trading Keller before Thursday's deadline. And instead, might recircle the wagons in this offseason. The thought process behind that, I understand it, but at the same time, I don't. The thought process with waiting until the offseason is that you then open up the market to everybody. That all teams out there can then have an interest in Mitch Keller. Not just the teams that currently find themselves in the race. I get that side of things. I get that way of thinking. But I think it's also somewhat of a misconception. At least it should be. If you have a team right now that is going for a championship and feels like they are perhaps a Mitch Keller away from winning said championship, don't you feel like the benefit of trying to fleece them in a trade could be there because of their desperation to win a title? I feel like that becomes the equalizer when you talk about trading at the deadline and trading in the offseason. Yes, your field of potential candidates is limited right now compared to what it might be in, you know, 3-4 months. However, you also have the advantage right now of teams getting desperate because they can see the finish line in sight, but they need your piece to go get to that finish line. You know, once you get to January, everybody starts to feel like, well, we can build a pretty good team here, but we don't have to do anything out of desperation because there's other avenues to build a baseball team other than the trade market. Free agency comes into play once you get into the offseason. I don't know why people don't talk about that. Yes, the field opens up, but the field of players opens up as well. Teams who are in the race who might have players on expiring contracts but don't want to trade them right now have the ability once the season is over to perhaps if a player has a year left or something like that, they can go trade him at that point. So you're limiting the field, but you're also limiting the players. And I kind of look at it as a wash at the end of the day. You trade Mitch Keller now, you trade Mitch Keller in a few months. I don't know that the return's going to be all that different for these Pittsburgh Pirates. I really don't. And I think there's a chance right now that people look at what Mitch Keller has done last night, maybe tossed aside. But I think there's a reasonable view of Mitch Keller right now that this is a guy who can step into a rotation. And if you have to pitch him in Game 3 of a playoff series or Game 2 of a playoff series, you at least feel like you have a chance to win because the ERA says as much, the stats say as much, maybe the win-loss record doesn't say as much, but that's not on Keller. That's on the inept hitting development of his bosses. I just don't want to make that move. I haven't. I've had a bad feeling about it from the beginning. A lot of it was just the gut feeling that this front office would mess this whole thing up. And on top of that, your window is open. You have a sure enough thing in Mitch Keller. Why are you going to trade the known for the unknown when your window is open? I get it. If you're rebuilding, if 2026 is about tearing it all down and rebuilding, then yeah, go ahead and trade Mitch Keller now. In fact, go ahead and trade Paul Skeens because you're never going to get a window open of Paul Skeens if you decide to go rebuild because he is not signing an extension here. Your chance is 2026. There could be a lockout in 2027. That is a very real possibility. We're going to talk about that later, hopefully in the show as well, about Bryce Harper confronting the commissioner of Major League Baseball reportedly in a clubhouse? We'll talk about that. But this is becoming a real element of the equation right now that I think needs to force the Pirates into doing something that they might not be comfortable with. And that is building a good enough roster through their finances and through aggressiveness to go win in 2026. Because 2027 is not a given. And once you start getting into the late 2020s, the optics, I think, become more and more dim. Let's be real here. As great as Paul Skenes is, it seems almost inevitable that these top caliber pitchers with these big arms are going down for a year and a half at some point. Your window is right now. While this guy looks big and strong and healthy, and he's throwing like a Cy Young candidate, every single batter that steps into that box is seeing a Cy Young candidate pitcher 60 feet away. I can't get on board with it, man. I can't. I start reading around and looking around, and you get reports, you know, the Cubs are willing to trade their top prospect potentially for Mitch Keller. Owen Cassie, outfielder. 37th prospect in all of baseball, 23-year-old, batting .278, .940 OPS. It should be worth noting here that the Pirates don't have anybody on their entire roster near a .940 OPS. Their best guy is O'Neal Cruz, and he's at .747. So maybe you're getting a player there. He has 20 homers in 81 games, good pop, walks a bunch. Average fielder, but who cares if he hits? You could plug and play probably at the start of next season and have you feel like a pretty good player in your lineup, day in and day out. That's the advantage. You trade Keller for a hitter, he plays every day. You keep Keller, he plays once every five. ESPN's Jorge Castillo reporting that the Yankees could be in the market for Keller. He says, quote, the Yankees want a starting pitcher, and Keller, while not the best starter seemingly available, would be a solid addition to a depleted rotation. Goes on to give the accolades of Keller, mentions that he's under contract for three more years for a sensible $55.7 million. It's funny how when it's the Yankees acquiring him, it's a sensible contract, but for the Pirates, it's so draining financially that they need to get rid of him. If that doesn't make you sick over the economics of Major League Baseball, that one sentence, a sensible $55.7 million, which looks like the most oppressive finances imaginable for the home team. Top Yankees prospect is George Lombard Jr. He's a shortstop, second baseman, middle infielder, 29th overall prospects. And then after that, they have some pitching prospects who are ranked highly. And then they have a big 6'7", 240-pound outfielder named Spencer Jones, who has 29 home runs in 68 games. Why? What is with the Yankees and these 6'7", 240-pound mashers of baseball? Where do they come from? How do they get them all? Judge, Stanton. I guess the Pirates have O'Neal Cruz. He's 6'7", but I would much prefer that he hit the ball like Judge or Stanton historically have. Maybe the Pirates make that move. Maybe they get a big masher and they finally have a 40 home run hitter for the first time in 50 years. The Red Sox have reportedly expressed interest in Mitch Keller as well. Are they doing that because they know that the Yankees are interested and they're trying to just drive up the price on the Yankees, so they're making the phone call so that the Yankees end up spending a little bit more? Perhaps. Because not all that long ago, there was a report out that the Red Sox had no interest at all in Mitch Keller. And then the Yankees suddenly get linked to Mitch Keller, and suddenly the Red Sox are now being thrown out there. Franklin Arias is their top prospect, by the way, another middle infielder, but he's 19 years old. I will be irate if we are sitting here Thursday night. I won't be sitting here, at least not that I know of. I guess I could get a phone call. But if we're sitting there Thursday night and Mitch Keller is no longer a Pirate and the guy that comes back is a 19-year-old, I might put my head through a wall. I don't want your high A player I don't want your middling hitting double A prospect. No. If you're going to trade Mitch Keller, it has to be for a proven major league bat, and that's not going to happen, so you might as well keep him. And then you spend a little money. You get rid of the GM whose staff is incapable of developing hitting talent here in Pittsburgh. And you try to go for it in 2026 with Paul Skenes. Before you hit a potential lockout, before Skenes has unknowns thrown at him, and before Skenes leaves. Go for it now. Make this fan base not call into our shows, gnashing their teeth in anguish over the ineptitude of this franchise as it currently stands. 412-928-9370. That's the number. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Keller, should they keep him and maybe try to build up and go for it in 26? Or has it really, this season as a whole, made you give up on any sort of short-term hopes? Are you out on the Pirates for 26, 27, whatever? And do you think they just need to go full reset? Prospects, load up, see what happens in the future. You heard from me. Let's hear from you. 412-928-9370. That's the number. Fan text line. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Good to be with you on this, what is it, Tuesday? Tuesday night. We got a couple guests coming up. Shelby Cassese, our friend, joining the show from Steelers training camp in a little bit. We'll have Kevin Gorman on to talk MLB trade deadline as well later on. I'm Josh Rountree. Let's get your calls. 412-928-9370. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I was chatting with Paul Alexander out in the hallway. By the way, Fan Weather brought to you... I'm sorry, Fan Twitter. Why am I doing the weather? Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. Weather did play a role at Steelers training camp today. We'll talk more about that with Shelby Cassese in about half an hour. I was talking with Paul Alexander out in the hallway, and we came up with a great solution for the Pirates. Instead of just firing Ben Cherington, you just have him and his pitching analytics and identification staff, keep them on board, but they only worry about pitching. This is like having an offensive and defensive coordinator. And then you go hire another GM who just does hitting, who focuses on hitting development and analytics and scouting and identification and all that. Because the Pirates have been very good from a pitching side. Very good. Top 10 in baseball and most statistics involving pitching, they have been right there. So you keep Ben around, say, hey, look, we're not going to fire you. You're not going to be in the unemployment line. You're still going to have a job, but you just can't look at any hitters ever.
So it's like when the Steelers a couple seasons ago had Brandon Hunt at Omar Khan's side, right? Where Khan is the money guy, and
yeah,
then Brandon Hunt is more of the old school player executive type of piece to everything.
That's probably what it's like now with Andy Weidel and Khan, right? I mean,
pretty much.
Weidel's
yes.
The player personnel guy. Khan's more contractual money. Not that Khan isn't involved in other things, but you know, I think it's a great idea. Can't see it happening, but maybe. 412-928-9370 is the number if you want to reach us. I threw this out earlier. The trade deadline coming. Mitch Keller did not pitch well last night. 73 pitches over two innings, but firmly, you would think, on the block. Noah Hyles reporting today they could be waiting until the offseason. Curious to get your thoughts on that. Let's go first to the phone lines to Bob in Bridgeville on the Fan. Hi, Bob.
Hey.
What's up?
Here's my idea, and I know it's probably gone stupid, but I'd keep O'Neill Cruz, Dave Bednar, Paul Skenes, Brian Reynolds, IKF, and Keller, and trade everybody else and bring new blood in and see what happens.
So just, yeah, I mean, look, I understand that way of thinking, right? I mean, I think you have a couple of pieces here that you know work, but then there's so many guys that, I mean, guys like Reynolds, Hayes, you go up and down. I mean, even Cruz, so up and down. Like, there's so many unknown variables. I just don't know, like, how did we get from the point where a year ago, a little over a year ago, This group was looked at as a potential core nucleus group with a young, exciting farm system that was creeping its way towards the major leagues. And now we're left here with a team that, you know, has been among the worst in baseball since the very start of the season that looks completely and totally incapable of winning at a high level. I just don't know how we've dropped that far. And if the drop, like the results are reflective of the actual talent. Like, I think it's a team that's playing below its possibilities right now. I'm not saying they're a world champion, but it doesn't feel like they're this bad of a team maybe to go blow all that up.
They're absolutely not that bad of a team. It's just, we got a core and it's bat. We need a bat.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, thanks, Bob. I think you start saying, hey, look, what's the best way to get a bat? I mean, the reality is they need more than a bat. They have positions of need. I mean, if you go trade Hayes, not that Hayes is a bat, but that's one corner infield spot gone. Spencer Horwitz, that move has not worked out, I think, the way that probably they had hoped. Not saying that you totally give up completely there, but your corner infield spots don't really hit enough for you. They are missing an outfield spot. I mean, hell, they don't really have a good hitting catcher. I mean, I know Andy Rodriguez with the injuries and whatnot, but there's a lot of areas that they could fill from a hitting standpoint. It's not just a bat. And that's the thing. Do you spend from your position of wealth? Do you trade from your position of wealth, which would be pitching? And I think the biggest return would come for probably Mitch Keller at this point, outside of course, Paul Skeens, and they're not going to do that. And do you say, hey, look, the only way that we're going to get an accomplished bat, somebody that can really plug into our lineup, at least one bat, is by trading Mitch Keller. Let's go to Anthony and Plum next on The Fan. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Josh.
What's going on?
So, just rapping about the Pirates here.
Yeah. What you got?
I honestly don't care what you do with any of the position players. I'd probably try to keep Reynolds. Just because I think he's just having a bad year.
Yeah.
Generally, he's better than this. I wouldn't trade any of the pitchers. And what they really need to do is just spend $50 to $60 million this offseason on two or three backs. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's about
but
it.
But do you think that they're going to spend $50 to $60 million in one offseason on two or three bats?
It depends on if Nutting actually wants to win or not.
Well,
because I mean, it's a risk reward thing, right?
Yeah.
He's a businessman. He should know that.
Yeah.
Obviously he's a good businessman and that's good business, but this is the window. They have 3 years, maybe.
Yeah. And look, I mean, I talked about this on the, from the offset of the show, one of those 3 years, you could be looking at a lockout. So time could be of the essence here. And you never know what's going to happen with this whole, the negotiations and CBAs and all that. And you also, that window is propped open right now, Anthony, because of one guy, and that's Paul Skeens.
Yep.
And with
and
pitchers, you just don't.
Another one.
Right. And look, we've seen Jared Jones, Johan Oviedo. Like, we've seen some of their promising young pitchers lose an entire year and a half because of injury. It can happen. And so you're running the risk right now of, I almost liken it to a Jameson Taillon situation where they had this promising pitcher, but time got wasted for him because of injuries. And this has, the potential of injury. It has potential of lockout. And I know this is like a doom and gloom sort of point to make, but you never know what could happen here. And you don't have time or the luxury of waiting two or three years saying, hey, look, we still are going to have Paul Skeens around. We're still going to have a window open. You just don't have that.
It's even worse than that, though, because Skeens is so much better than Taillon could ever dream of being.
Right.
Like, we got the guy. We need to jump at it now. This is the time. This might be the only time.
Yeah. It's
frustrating. It's just frustrating because all it takes is to open up the checkbook. He's got the money. He just has to spend it.
Yeah. Thanks, Anthony. I mean, it's, I think it's magnified to the nth degree because of how good Paul Skeens is. I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago, somebody very in the know organizationally, and I said, you know, a lot of the frustrations of this season, it feels like it's boiled over to a point that we haven't seen before. And I don't want to blame this guy, but I think it's Paul Skeens' fault. It's his fault because he's so damn good. And people can see what good baseball looks like. I made this comment too. I think if people didn't have the recollection of 2013 to 2015, this would not hurt as bad as it could, as it does. You know, if you go back 2013 to 15, we saw good baseball here. We saw them play very well. We saw good pitching, good hitting, timely hitting, good managerial decisions, good front office decisions. We saw it come together here for 3 years. So we know what it looks like. We know what it should look like. With Paul Skeens, we know what greatness can look like here. And that's what makes it that much more difficult to swallow, is that they have this unbelievable, exceptional piece to build around, to put the complementary elements around, that all you just have to do is just give them a little bit of something. And you can maybe have something special again here in Pittsburgh a decade after you had something special here in Pittsburgh. We're talking 30 years now, 35 years now nearly, where this organization has had three good years. And you have, everybody can see that you have the chance right in front of you. And that chance is Paul Skeens. And yet, organizationally, they are not taking advantage of that. And that's why I think this season has become so frustrating. It's not just the losing. It's the wasting of opportunity that people get furious with. And, he's right. One way to get out of it is by spending. But I don't see $60 million coming off, I don't see a $60 million addition to the payroll from this year to next year happening. They're going to have to find other ways, because that's just not what's going to happen. Josiah and Plum next on The Fan. Hi, Josiah.
Hey, regarding trading Mitch Keller, I would wait until the off season to do that. I think we should do that in the off season, just not at the deadline. And for two reasons. Number one, Mitch Keller is not going to get you a major league established bat right now, for the simple reason that teams who want him are not
right
looking to move their right proven players. At best, you're going to get a triple A to MLB ready, like, prospect who has a high probability.
The biggest mistake that they could make here, Josiah, is waiting to trade Keller and then still trading him for prospects, in my mind.
Yes, that would be like lunacy.
Yeah.
And then the second reason is the more obvious reason would be, like, Ben Sherrington, I do not trust him to make any trades at all regarding hitting at this point.
Yeah.
Because this is a guy who does not learn from his mistakes. He has been given 6 years to develop a single hitter. We've seen all of these different hitters just come to this organization and completely fail. And he's not really developed a single consistent major league bat. He's not developed anyone. And he does the exact same thing every offseason, every deadline. And for some reason, spends the whole year acting surprised that doing the same thing doesn't lead to different results. And I don't have any credence at all that something's just going to flip in his brain and he's going to suddenly know what exactly to do.
And I said it to start this segment, thanks for the call, that I wish that you could take Ben Sherrington and say, hey, look, why don't you and your staff just focus on the pitching side of things? Because the reality is they're a playoff caliber team when it comes to pitching. The stats say it. They're top 10 in just about every statistical pitching category that you can be top 10 in. They've been really good on that side. A lot of that's Paul Skeens. Like, he helps that a lot. But Mitch Keller's been good. They bring in Andrew Heaney. And for the most part, and, you know, until maybe recently, he's been really solid for them, giving them good innings. The guys that they've brought up through their system, like, they've been able to find pitching. That's starting pitching. That's relief pitching. They've been able to find it, develop it, coach it, etc. They've been able to make moves there that, in general, statistically speaking, have worked out. You just wish that there isn't that other element of it, and that's hitting, and that's pretty darn important. Tom in Pittsburgh, next on The Fan.
Yeah,
hi, Tom.
Hi, Josh. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
I look at this from a completely different perspective. I think what the Pirates should do, rather than just spend money like a 19-year-old prospect who will take 3 or 4 years to develop, they should completely focus on their development. By doing this, I mean like going out to L.A. and try to get the L.A.'s hitting coach and bringing him in. Let him just run the hitting department. And I really think they could have something here because they really have the
core. You mean bringing him in as the new manager or bringing him in how?
As the hitting coach.
Why would L.A. Why would the L.A. Dodgers hitting coach leave L.A. to go work for the Pirates
well,
in the same
what
role?
They should do is if they're going to spend, you know, people are saying, oh, they should spend like $50, $60 million. They should spend the money on that perspective.
Well, I think the point to make here, Tom, and I don't think you're that far off of what you're saying, is if you're not going to be able to spend to the lengths of a complete roster, that you need to find other ways to invest money. But part of the problem is we're hearing this about Ben Cherington, that he was given more to his budget. Instead of spending it on players, he spent it on analytics. And that has not worked out at all. So I don't know what's next. If it doesn't work out there, I think you're going to have a hard time, and appreciate the call. I think you're going to have a hard time convincing a lateral move from the LA Dodgers to the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's just my opinion, but I also don't know that if, you know, the LA Dodgers are exceptionally thrilled with their hitting coach, that you're going to be able to outspend them for staff. I mean, they just have more money and far more money than what you do. Nick in Sacramento next. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Josh. Thanks for taking my call. Pittsburgh native, first of all, going to game tomorrow. I'm excited about it just because I know they're playing good right now, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I got to say this. You know, Juan Soto came up at 19 years and 200 some odd days. I looked that up. Touch on it. It's not like a stat machine here. But Connor Griffin's 19. I'm not saying Connor Griffin is a Juan Soto yet. Okay, I'm not saying that. But Why couldn't you bring up Connor Griffin maybe next year around May or June? Okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no reason why you can't take a chance with that. What would it hurt? I mean, like you said, the last 35, 40 years, all this stuff has just been, you know, accumulating into, you know, frustration for the fans, everybody involved. And then you have like the projection. If you project the lineups, if you look at anything into the future, I mean, is there any chance this kid that you're talking to, we just got in a trade from, no, he's an older guy from KC, right? Mm-hmm. What was his name? Cam something or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you got O'Neill Cruz, if Brian Reynolds is still around, is Nick York? I mean, I haven't heard anything about him really that much this year. And then, you know, I know they have this big hope for Peguero. But what about, you know, is Sanford still in the organization, Wyatt, and also McAdoo? Are those guys?
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, look, you hear about these prospects, and then all of a sudden you stop hearing about them, right? It's crazy how that works out. They have the best farm system in baseball, and thanks, Nick. They have the best farm system in baseball, and then all of a sudden you stop hearing about these guys. Or they go from AA to AAA, and suddenly they can't hit, or they go from AAA to the major leagues, and suddenly they can't hit. Look, I know a lot of people are excited about Connor Griffin, and rightfully so. I mean, the kid looks like he could be a stick here for a while. He's 6'4", he's 220 pounds, he's 19, he can mash baseballs. You love the prospect of him. He's also 19 years old, and he's playing in high A ball right now. I don't think May is a realistic timeline for that. And I'm not saying it can't happen. But the last guy that they pushed through very quickly, if you recall, I mean, think about the last guy that Pirates fans were clamoring for to get pushed through very quickly to get to Pittsburgh. We talked about him at the start of the show tonight. Henry Davis. He had the fewest at-bats out of any first overall pick in the minor leagues since like 1973. And what is he doing now? He's batting 173. I'm not saying that that's going to be the case for everybody. I'm just saying that there's pros and cons to rushing a player through. Pros, yeah, maybe it works out and they hit and they give you an extended look and you can win earlier with them because they're really, really good. And he looks like a guy who's really, really good. He's batting 332 in the minors this year. But Henry Davis was probably hitting like 332 in the minors as well. And they rushed him up and it didn't work. So, and then they've broken him. He's been broken. I shouldn't say they. I mean, he's just broken. Dave in Newcastle next. Hi, Dave.
Hey, what's up? So, sorry to bring it back to the frustration, but I think what it is that it's the realization that if this organization doesn't spin now, they never will.
Yeah, like, no, that's a fair point.
It's like the realization, the finality, like, you know that if it's not now, they will never, ever compete. And I think a lot of fans are realizing that. My question is, if the Paul Skeens heir unfortunately goes by and there's absolutely nothing to show for it, what do you think the fallout will be from the fans at that point?
it's a good question, Dave. Thanks for the call. I don't know. I mean, we've already been through waves of disappointment, anger, apathy, disappointment. I think this season can be defined by anger, right? I mean, I think it's been an angry fan base this season. I can't find any way to sugarcoat that. A lot of that has not just been on the field. There's been off the field stuff as well, but it's been an angry season. But I agree with them. If you're not going to spend when you have a guy like Paul Skeens, if you're not going to go for it when you have a guy like Paul Skeens, a generational talent on your team, and 12 years ago, they did that. They had, at least for Pittsburgh standpoint, a generational talent in Andrew McCutchen here. They had an MVP. And they went out and made moves to build their team around him. And they have not done that so far yet with Paul Skeens, at least not successfully. Kevin in the North Hills. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Josh. Hey, Dave just hit the nail on the head. I mean, this guy, Nutting, is worth over $1 billion. If he's not willing to reach into his pockets and pull out an extra $15 to $30 million now, he never will. And I don't know how else to think about it. I mean, they hit the lottery when they drafted this guy, and there's no guarantee they'll ever have another chance like this. So, come on, he's worth $1 billion.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it. I mean, thanks for the call. I don't know what else to say. If having Paul Skeens doesn't encourage you to step out of the comfort box, I don't know what will. Dante and Swickley are last caller of the hour. Hi, Dante.
Hey, how are you doing? I really have enjoyed listening to everything you said tonight. Really,
thanks.
A lot of smart things. I really think the Pirates should have, during Skeens' rookie season, when he, you know, he was apparently, you know, he was going to be the starting pitcher in the All-Star game his mm-hmm. first year. I think they really should have tried to put together something like a 13-year contract where he gets $390 million or something like that, because you could extend the window and you'd have to finally break the bank and go for it that way. And maybe they could, I think there would have been a chance Skeens would sign it, even if it's light on guarantees in lieu of injury.
Yeah.
And they would still have the chance to trade him if they didn't like the way he turned out. But at the same time, the chances of Skeens being willing to stay for a long period of time would have been high, because he wouldn't have had to wait 5 years to get paid. He would get the money right up front, and it would show the commitment that the team would be willing to at least try to build around them. And there might still be time, because they're only 2 years into this, where they could maybe get, you know, an 11-year deal. He won't have to wait 3 years to get paid, and maybe, you know, like $410 million or $390 million or something could get it done over an 11-year period.
I think right now, though, Dante, and appreciate the call, I think it's too late for all that. I mean, it's nice to think back and say, yeah, they should have. I mean, it's maybe frustrating to think back and say they should have just given the guy a huge contract right away. I can understand them not throwing a ton of money at a starting pitcher early. I mean, they've had their fair share of starting pitchers who have had a lot of, you know, highly drafted starting pitchers who have not worked out for them. I can understand it. Hindsight's just 20/20 in that situation, I think. 93.7 The Fan, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDK, and Whammo 100.